But what I'd really like to do is something extraordinary.
Welcome back to the Ground Level. We have a quick episode today on some of the things that are going on here in Washington State. We went over recently some of the bills, but we're really going to dive into it, especially a sickening one that just went through on Friday. So let's get into it. Again, welcome back to the Ground Level. This is just going to be a somewhat short episode here today about some of the bills that are having some hearings here in Washington State. Washington State is under this ongoing tyrannical behavior from government officials, especially our new governor, Governor Ferguson. We've talked about him several times on the show. Everybody knows how I feel about this guy. I'm not going to dive too much into him, but it's gotten all the way down to not only our legislators, most importantly, our school systems, our public school systems. And people often ask me, you know, why do you guys homeschool your kids? And our kids are doing just fine. You know, I grew up in an era where homeschooling was frowned upon. People looked at the homeschool kids as, you know, strange and all this. And it is frightening to take that leap. We did that a few years ago during that COVID nonsense. And when the COVID nonsense, and I do mean that, finally, faded away, we just maintained. Now our high school sons are doing great. Our youngest is doing great. And this bill that's coming up, 5106, it had a hearing. I'm going to play you guys a little clip here in a moment about the type of evil that's going on under the guise of we care for your children. There are bad parents out there, no doubt. But one thing I can tell you firsthand, there is no government official, no bureaucracy, no legislator, no governor, no mayor that could ever care about my kids the way me and my wife do to that level. They're our children. We brought them into this world. We love them more than our own lives. There's no government official that would ever, they don't care about my kids. I'm still blown away by this, that this is the type of chipping away. Now, we've seen these examples of, you know, teachers getting or people getting into the public school systems, grooming. There is, and people can deny it all they want, there's an epidemic of these sexual predators that have gotten into our school systems. I can't speak for the rest of the country. I mean, I'm sure it happens everywhere, but you hear these stories way too much in Washington State. You also hear us seemingly excusing it. You know, they're not child rapists, they're not child molesters, they're child attracted persons. Oh no, I'm sorry, MAPS. That's what they're called now. Minor attracted persons. This is a Democrat tactic to change the language. No, you call them what they are. They're monsters. People that would go after kids and harm them. And then not only that, but to pursue a teaching degree in order to fulfill that predatory nature that they have, that lust for children. It's just disgusting. There's no other way to put it. People that put titles on this to get you to feel more comfortable with it are sickening. And all of you that would vote this way or take that approach, I suspect many of you don't have kids. And those of you that do have kids that would, you know, you need to be investigated if you're coming down lighter on this subject for political ideology. There is an epidemic going on. It's becoming way too common of these situations. Now, you can call it whatever you want. I don't know why this is happening. I suspect, you know, a lot of it probably has to do, you know, pornography has been around forever. However, there was a time when it was difficult to get to. Now you have just this, the internet. that instant, you know, surge of information on anything you want to look up. And now you have people that may have been curious. They can, at a few clicks, get this type of material, this disgusting material. Oh, there's always been people that go after children. Of course there has. Nobody is saying that, but it's on the rise. And people that don't want to see it, truth is always hard to process. People want to maintain their daily lives. They want to be able to go to Costco. They want to watch Netflix. They want to be bothered by the evils of the world because it isn't affecting them, but it will be on your doorstep eventually. And it's all too often, unfortunately, here in Washington State, and it just makes me sick. We're going to go over a couple House bills here in a moment. There's one in particular, 5106. The amendment that was attempted did not go through. And I want you to pay attention carefully when you see all these legislators and these council members that are so quick to reject it. It's just evil is all it is. And I would suggest that most of them that are voting this way don't know that it's evil. And I would even suggest that they're not evil people. Some of them are approaching this with good intentions, which is just absurd on its face because some of the most horrific things in the world historically have happened with the best of intentions. So let's dive over to our quick little news area here, and I want everybody to listen to this real quickly. So again, this was House Bill 5106, where there was an amendment that was attempted. Where right now, the school district does not need to notify you for 48 hours. If any kind of criminal activity has happened in a school, which also includes if a staff member is grooming a child, rapes a child, the school district does not need to inform the parent for 48 hours. This is yet another example where the school district has more control over your child than you do. And we're not going to spend too much time today getting into the therapists not having to report things to parents. But this one in particular, I want everybody to listen to this because it's frightening.
Are there further amendments? There are. Representative Couture.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Move H1050.1, page 11, line 3.
It's been moved and seconded that the amendment on page 11, line 3 be adopted. Are there remarks, Representative Couture?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The underlying bill essentially states that schools can wait 48 hours before they tell parents if their children were involved in any kind of criminal action or if there was any sexual misconduct of staff. We have seen a stunning amount of sexual misconduct and sexual assaults by educators in our schools just in the last year itself, including two principals in a Vancouver school district that hid from parents a rape, a statutory rape of a 16-year-old female student in their school by one of their staff. Now, as a parent myself, I would be disgusted and sickened to know if my kids had some kind of sexual abuse put upon them by staff, and I wasn't notified immediately of those things. Now, this happened actually in my kid's school district where an eighth grade school teacher was grooming and having inappropriate sexual relationships with eighth grade boys. This is all too much commonplace, and parents deserve to know right away whenever there is any kind of criminal activity or sexual abuse or sexual allegations of staff that goes along with the safety of their children. For God's sake, please vote yes.
Thank you. Are there further remarks? Representative Ortiz Self.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. As a school counselor, one of the first things we're trained is how to deal with these situations, and it's very clear that we take direction from law enforcement and from the Department of Children and Family Services whenever there's a crime that has taken place, and that we must adhere and give them the time to do the investigation so that justice can be served. Our role in the schools to support the child and support the parents. Their role is to do the criminal investigation, and we cannot in any way impede that. And so in the for justice sake, we are told to take the direction from them, and that is what we do, and that is what we train our staff to do. And so I'm going to urge a no vote.
Thank you. Are there further remarks?
Wow.
Seeing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please indicate by saying nay.
Nay.
The amendment fails.
And there we are. This is the type of stuff that's just on its face, it's disgusting to anybody that's reasonable. And you wonder where that kind of programming comes from. I got to imagine a lot of these council members, these officials have children themselves. I don't know where this is coming from. Where these, you know, for justice's sake, justice begins at the parent, the involved parent. Let's qualify that. I've already acknowledged there are some horrific parents in this world. But because of the few, in this case, and in many cases, especially things that are run by government, you do not stifle the parents' rights. And that's what they're doing. We know better. We've been trained. I don't care what you've been trained in. That's my child. This stuff is, again, I can't really think of any other word than sickening. And I leave in the comments, justify this. Because I suspect that if your 9-year-old was being raped by a teacher and coming home and you didn't know this and you noticed something, behavior is going on, your child won't talk to you. I freak out when anything negative happens to my child. Call it a helicopter parent, whatever you want. I'm Gen X. I know how cruel kids can be. I would lose my shit if I found out that some teacher did something like that to my son. It's probably a good chance I would be in jail. I can put that rock solid cement. There was a teacher that put his hands on one of my children in a violent way, not a sexual way. Either way is wrong. Way over the top inappropriate. This is many years ago. It was probably 12 years ago. Maybe a little less than that, maybe 10. And I about lost it. It took, God bless my wife, to calm me down. But we did go through the channels. Now, this is because my son came home and told me. Often, children don't have the mental facilities yet to understand the emotions that they're going through, the pain, the fear, the anxiety, and especially to these predators who know that. They know how to manipulate a child's mind. This is just sickening to consider that the parent has less of a right in our school districts here in Washington State and in so many departments, not just this one. You're not, the law enforcement needs to do their investigation for 48 hours. Cool. You call the parent and say, this is what's going on immediately. And then you let them do their investigation. Show me one case where that hurts the investigation. Are you afraid that the parents are going to come unglued and seek justice from you? You, the educator? You, the Board of Education? You, the Department of Education in the state of Washington? That's what this is about. They're afraid of you finding out. And you being really floored about it. And some people, I can completely understand, would be pretty emotional about that. When somebody hurts a family member of yours, especially a child. This is sickening, folks. It's just sickening. couple other things I want, and I want everybody to process that and look into that again. That was House Bill 5106. And a couple things I wanted to go over today, some of the other House bills that are up and that are, man, we talked about this briefly yesterday on our 3-hour podcast, it's right at the beginning of the episode. We also dive into some of the other things. So please, you know, check out our episode yesterday. Brian's with me and we dive into a lot of the things going on today, but I wanted to slow it up a little bit today and talk about this House Bill 1531. And tell you where, for me, it's a problem. Let's dive over here, 1531. I'm going to try to zoom in. Well, we're zoomed in a little bit here. I'm going to go line by line just so you guys can see this. This 1531 is basically a health care and wellness bill that was talked about on Friday. And one of the things that I said specifically about these measures that are being discussed, Olympia for years now, and the great Dory Monson called this out years ago when this tactic began, they hold these hearings anywhere between 1 and 4 p.m., right in the middle when everybody, most people that are working in Washington State, the working class who would love to be involved in this, pardon me, they're stuck in traffic. And they do this because they know you won't arrive. Most of the people that are at these meetings either have some kind of stay-at-home job or they're higher up, their manager, who knows? I would suspect most of the people coming to these hearings our government people, you know, even on the low end, administrative staff, who knows? They can attend these. They're in Olympia. This one about 1531, and if everybody remembers how awful that COVID era was, and I'll even be charitable to a certain degree about that, because when it was first kicking off, you know, we just didn't know. And I remember the first 2-3 weeks, month became 4 months, became 6 months, became a year. But remember, it was first just going to be, you know, stay home 2-3 weeks so this can air out. And it went on for 3 fucking years. After 6 months, me and my family knew it was bullshit right out the gate. We knew right away, especially in states like this, where then they just put their claws in and they roll with it. The more you can keep people afraid, the more you can control them. Those people that lost their businesses, all that we saw with the, you can't go to church, you can't even go to a parking lot of a church, but bars are still open. So nightclubs are still open. The ridiculous things that we all saw with those stupid masks that were slit open so people could eat while they're, you know, and talking and be in company in the 6 feet distant plastic bubbles put around desks. I mean, this was just madness. People lost all sense of reality. You bring up a video of even President Obama when the bird flu was going around, which is pretty awful, and him saying, everybody stay calm. There's no need to panic. We started a nationwide panic, of insanity. You want to go into the store, wear your mask, wear 2 masks, wear bubble wrap around your face. I saw people with these massive, like gas masks, military ones. Everybody lost their shit. And the fear was kept alive. And it was also kept alive by, if you didn't toe the line, you were made an example of. People lost their businesses. Businesses got shut down. People couldn't feed their families anymore. And having a small business, I can tell you firsthand how frightening that was. And I knew a lot of people that were on the same page as me, but they didn't have the courage to speak up because they were frightened of being canceled. And that, man, did that happen across the board. So here we are now in this new bill, 1531, that was up for a hearing. And I wanted to mention this here, exactly what's being said here. This is relating to preserving the ability of public officials and communicable diseases, right? To give them authority to address it. And it sounds great. Yeah. If a massive plague hits, we pay our government to protect us from that to the extent that they can. I don't expect anything to be perfect. We're all human beings, even government officials. To many of you that would question this, if somebody has a lab coat, they're still a human being capable of making errors. Engineers make errors. Pilots make errors. We just saw it. Doctors, yes, they make errors. Nurses make errors. All those people we've been told you better worship, they're human beings. There's no amount of education that naturally makes people smart. Smart is not being educated. Smart is how you process information. And everybody, I can be the first to tell you, there are a hell of a lot of people that are smarter than me. Circling back to 1531 again, and I want to point this out specifically what this says. It's pretty disturbing here when you read what this is talking about. It is the policy of the state that public health responses to address communicable diseases be guided by the best available science. Okay, what does that mean? Most of my life, trusted science. Our science became a laughingstock joke thanks to Fauci. He's a perfect example of corruption. But these words, it's about the words. The best available science on the safety and efficacy of evidence-based measures. Okay? Who's in control of that evidence-based measures? Not you. So you're putting faith in a bureaucracy, in a politician, to control the spread of such diseases. Here's where it gets interesting, including immunizations and vaccines. That should be an eye-opener right away. Consistent with the policy in subsection 1 of section, the state and local health officials must, within available resources, must, another key word there, within available resources, implement and promote evidence-based. Now, promotes one thing, okay, advise people. It also says implement and promote evidence-based appropriate measures. You must implement measures to control the spread of communicable diseases, including vaccines. The state and its... Now, this is where, also again, look at the defense mechanisms that they put into play. The state and its political subdivisions may not enact statutes, ordinances, rules, or policies that prohibit the implementation and promotion of such measures. Any such statute, ordinance, rule, or policy in place of the effective date of this section is hereby declared null and void. This is a perfect example right here. They're putting in these little defense measures that say even somebody like a county could go, hold on a second, we're not going to implement that. It goes on further to talk about even private businesses. So the state in this bill must implement, according to available science, right? And that is just some frightening stuff. This is one, again, I point out that this happened during about 2:30 in the afternoon, I think, when this was held. And I point out, as often as I do, this is most people are at work, especially on Friday afternoon in gridlock traffic. These are just these little tactics and measures that they do, and most of you didn't even know that this went into effect, and you just saw what I said about that previous bill there, the one with the child molestation. That is disgusting that that's even an option, that they're even discussing, that they don't need to inform the parent for 48 hours. That lady saying, well, she's been trained. Again, I don't know. I don't care what training is. I can speak for my wife and I. Nobody is going to care more about my child. And we have a right to know. We're paying taxes to put our kids into the public school system, to all those parents that are still in the public system. You have that right to know if some teacher hurts your child. 48 hours is a long time. That's a long time for your child to be going through that and you not knowing what was happening. So again, that's another bill there. 1504, I wanted to discuss a little bit as well. I'll bring that up here. 1504 is just as troublesome. 1504, and you have to forgive me, right? Oh, there it is right here. 1504 has to do with our rights, our Second Amendment rights in the state of Washington. And this one is also troubling. Now, if whatever your position is on gun ownership in America, it's the same type of topic as abortion. It's a very volatile, loaded topic. It enrages people from both sides of the aisle. And I understand the concerns. And I don't want to dive too deep into, you know, the gun violence across America and why it happens and what types of weapons are used and all this kind of thing. We're just going to stick with this bill here and what they're doing in the state of Washington again. And I invite everybody to look at the Second Amendment. Whether or not you agree with it doesn't matter. It is the law. I could say, oh my gosh, I hate that guns even need to exist in this country. I mean, it is sad that we live in a violent world. The school shootings, all this kind of stuff, the horrific things that have occurred because of guns. At the same time, I can say there are responsible gun owners that have every right to defend themselves, not from just you're out in the woods and you're attacked by an animal, or not for hunting, or not for just somebody breaks into your home, but it's a measure to defend yourself from the government. Gun owners outnumber the government. And that's why they're constantly chipping at weapons. There should be gun laws. There should be laws, background checks. It all makes sense. If you're a felon, if you've been committed of a gun crime, yeah, you should never have a gun the rest of your life. That puts that there, you have a major responsibility as a gun owner. This bill here is yet another example of a way of stifling your rights. And go back to the Second Amendment and those that say a well-regulated militia. Learn some basic punctuation. That's including your right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, again, to those of you that want to make the argument and say that amendment is for a different time and all this, then get to Congress. You need the 2/3 vote. Change that amendment. Establish a new amendment. We have the process. People that hate guns don't like that process. And then what they do is they go around and they find these little tactical ways of making it difficult for you to own a weapon. Everybody knows I'm a gun owner. I'm a veteran. I protect my family, which even goes along the line. There's no government agency that's going to care more about my family than I do. So let's break apart this little bill here. Again, this is 1504. And this is a perfect example of their ways. Now, it doesn't say you can't own a gun, but we're sure as hell going to make it difficult for you to purchase one. The section 1, no person in a state may purchase or possess. Now, I imagine that right out the gate talks about current gun owners. Purchase or possess a firearm unless that person is. Now, it doesn't mention to those that already have weapons. So what's that going to look like if somebody interprets that like, hey, we can start knocking on people's doors now to make sure that they're implementing these new rules, that they are insured under a firearm liability policy. There it is. State of Washington already makes it mandatory that if you want to drive, you have to have auto insurance. That's an example of why our auto insurance rates are so high, because they know you have to have it. They can charge you whatever they want. Our insurance commissioner here is unbelievably corrupt in this state. The insurance companies go to him. They go to our legislators. We know how lobbyists work. They give kickbacks. They funnel their profits into their campaigns. And then a legislator proposes a bill like shit like this. This isn't about the care that they care about gun violence. It's about money. It's always about money. Let's read on a little further here. Covered a firearm liability bond meeting the requirements, okay? Self-insured is provided in the subsection. Covered by a certificate of deposit meeting the requirements. And we're going to get into those requirements here in just a second. These requirements are right here in the highlighted sections. Firearm liability policy and bond requirements. A firearm liability policy or bond under this section must be issued by an insurance company or surety company authorized to do business in this state. Okay. Provide at least $25,000 of coverage per incident arising from accidental or unintentional discharge that is of the covered firearm. Now, that also suggests somebody breaks into my house. We're on vacation for 2 weeks. Everything that we have is all locked up and secured. Somebody breaks into my home, steals a safe, breaks into our safe. Who knows? I'm away for 2 weeks and somebody's kicked in my door and we got squatters' rights in this state and they're tearing apart my house. They find a weapon. They go out in the community and hurt somebody. I'm liable. This is how disgusting our legislative our Congress here is in the state of Washington, and our judges. The fact that we have activists now for judges all across so many political, this is a one party state, folks. And if everybody doesn't know, state of Washington has been a deep, deep blue, one party state for approximately 50 years now. With no pushback. And that was actually, you know, the design of our country was to be checks and balances. So this type of tyranny doesn't happen. Where it's just a runaway train. They can do what they want because they know there isn't going to be any opposition. Yeah, they'll let a few come up to the mic, talk about their situations like we just saw on that 5106. There was a parent right there going, hey, this is wrong. And what did they all do? They scoffed and they didn't give a shit what he said. Self-insurance requirements. Any person possessing more than 25 firearms, which that's comical to me. You know, I mean, I'm a firearms advocate. I don't have 25 weapons. I get it. If there's gun collectors and this kind of thing and they have shows, or, I mean, that's just different. But I just thought it was funny that they immediately tacked that on there. It's to shock you. There's people out there that have 25 guns. Most people do not have 25 guns. Now, the Department of Licensing may, in its discretion upon the application of such person, issue a certificate of self-insurance when it is satisfied that such person in possession will continue to be possessed of the ability to pay a judgment obtained, yada, yada, yada. That's just some little legalese, and this is where it gets even a little more interesting now. The certificate of deposit requirements. Proof of financial responsibility may be evidenced by a certificate issued by the Department of Licensing establishing that the person named therein, that's you, has deposited with the department $25,000 in cash or securities. This shall not be infringed is what I remind everybody here. Shall not be infringed. Where does it say in that Second Amendment? Oh, yeah, but you got to have a $25,000 certificate of deposit. Such as may legally be purchased by savings banks or for trust funds or market value of a market value of $25,000. Seems a little like the rich keeping themselves protected. It's exactly what that sounds like to me. Most people don't have 25 grand just sitting around to put on a certificate of deposit to deposit with the state. Also sounds like a money grab. So you have yet another money grab. And then you also have, we're protecting the rich. Because most rich people, oh, well, that's great because we are controlling gun violence. Most liberal, Democrat, rich people who are the first ones to rail about the guy about capitalism. They're just the biggest stinking hypocrites are happy with this. They know then it's going to be making it more difficult for you to be able to purchase your weapon or even continue to possess one. And I just don't know what that looks like. I'm really curious what that means about or to possess. That doesn't specify those that already have weapons. Proof of financial responsibility, and this is good. Whenever an insurance or surety company issues or renews a firearm liability insurance policy or bond, the company shall provide the policy or policyholder or bondholder with an identification card. Okay? The Department of Licensing, this is where it's also a little, I remember I'm trying to find this part, but pardon me. The Department of Licensing shall adopt rules specifying type, style, and content of identification cards to be issued proof of compliance in this section. Whenever a law enforcement officer asks any person purchasing or possessing a firearm to display proof of financial responsibility, failure to display such proof creates a presumption that he has not complied with the financial responsibility. Talking about law enforcement officers, that sounds dangerously close like them coming to your door. We understand you purchased a weapon 2 years ago. Can you please show us your proof of insurance or your certificate of deposit? Folks, this is so dangerous what's going on here. It's all this chipping away at your constitutional rights. This is not American. There's a process in place that we've had for a long time. And they've gotten really clever, using new tactics now to stifle your rights. And again, if you want to have that conversation about the ills of society that are gun ownership, and I'm open for that conversation. There are definitely problems. Again, in this country, not exclusive to this country, globally. But as everybody knows, my focus, I love my country and I love my state of Washington. And watching this happen time and time again, it's not only faulty or corrupt, intentionally corrupt, it's just evil. I mean, just absolutely evil because there's powerful people that use this as a measure to take away your rights. Do you think any of them are going to have those rights stifled? I know the public school system too well. I've had several children that went through it until we decided to homeschool. And I saw firsthand how corrupt teachers can be, how corrupt the administrative can be, the staff, the principals. Even, I'm not even kidding when I say even the, and I don't mean this as a degrading, but when we saw the cleaning staff, always siding with the institution, no matter what. They've gotten so used to you not rocking the boat. But when you do rock the boat, they're going to put a label on you. They're going to make things difficult for you because their entire mission is to protect that system. Maybe even on a subconscious level, they're trying to protect their jobs. I mean, I get it. You don't want the people to wake up. You don't want them to become aware of what our institutions are doing and how they're really trying to come after your life. It's sickening. Stay quiet. stay submissive. It's the 1984 project. It's the lab coat. It's we're the authority. Trust us. We're here to take care of you. Now, I say again, there are fantastic teachers in this state. Some that truly, and I would even suggest that probably the majority of them, that go in there because they like working with kids and they like to educate. But those same people, and I'm saying, I'm speaking from experience here, there are those that will turn a blind eye because of unions, because they don't want their job to be in jeopardy. We've lost this fortitude, this courage among so many across all trades of people that step up and do the right thing. This is a frightening time, specifically in my state. You know, I talked the other day about, you know, we know so many other governors across the state and all these different legislators and Ocasio-Cortez and Jim Jordan and all these people. We know all of them just because of the internet. You know, when I grew up, we didn't have this 24-hour barrage of news cycles thrown at you all day long. It's a different time. And the world has gotten smaller because of information is instant. Hell, you don't even need to go to college anymore. Everything's right there online. Oh, don't say that. That's questioning the institutions now again. Folks, I say again, I love my state of Washington. I love my country. It's in my heart. I serve time for my country. I want my country to succeed in the best way possible. There's going to be hiccups. There's going to be things that screw up. These bills, however, are frightening. And I encourage everybody, I urge all of you, please get involved. It's so simple. Just go to the all my fellow Washingtonians, and everybody knows how much I hate that one. I hate that word so much. Hey, leave in the comments. I think there's an argument to be made that we could be called the Washingtons. I don't understand why that's why the, you know, it's like the Johnsons. Yeah. You know, why aren't we called the, and probably because I couldn't stand Governor Inslee so much before he, thank God he's out of here. But unfortunately we got now Bob Ferguson, which is just a pile of trash. But every time I heard Inslee say Washingtonians, I physically got nauseated. Folks, thanks again for watching our episode. Please follow our channel. Like, leave comments. I would love to know everybody's take on this and what they think that's happening here in Washington State. And tune in for our next episode. Thanks, everybody.